Our opening prayer this evening is going to be brought to us by Caleb Rittenauer. Please kneel.
Dear Father, thank you so much that we can be here at camp, and thank you for this time that we can come together and learn more about you. And Lord, please be with us as we open your word, and please help us to be focused, and please be with the speaker and bless his words, and let them not be his words but yours, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, it is now time for our the campfire presentation, and I know we're going to be blessed for the message this evening.
God is good
all the time.
And all the time. Mungu ni mwema wakati wote Mungu ni mwema. Let the East Africans be happy. How are you?
Good, sir.
Have you had a good day so far?
Yes, sir.
Are you glad you came to camp?
Yes, sir.
Are you being a blessing to others?
Yes, sir.
That one lost a little life. Okay. Well, we all have to learn. I have a good news for you today. What do you think the good news is? I did not commit any sins today. Well, thank you for your applause. God bless you. I wore my badge to breakfast. I wore it to lunch. I did not go to supper. I decided to give my stomach a rest. And I was coming down to this meeting and I had no badge. So I turned around, got my badge, and came back looking spotless. So I hope tomorrow to break no laws as well. Okay. Our subject for today, well, not subject, what time is it? I'm very time conscious. 8:03, all right. 20:03 military time. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate that very much. Okay. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38, we shall read from verse 1. All right, my dear sister to my left, use the microphone in your throat. And start reading Isaiah 38, beginning at verse 1. Ahah, the son of Amos, and said unto him, for thou shalt... Thank you. What's your name? Sunny? As sunny and... All right, not cloudy. Okay. The Bible says that God sent Isaiah... And Isaiah had a message for Hezekiah. And the message was, set thine house in order, for thou shalt what? And not? Yes. Now someone, let's say, where's our resident prophet, Nathan? If Nathan the prophet came to you and said, listen, tonight you'll die. Tonight. And you will not live. Or if your doctor said to you, you go for your regular checkup. Yeah, I've got some bad news for you. In 1 week, you'll drop dead. How would you feel? How would you feel? Terrible. But why? Why wouldn't you jump and shout and clap? Well, let me ask you this. When you die, can you be sick? When you're dead, can you be sick? When you're dead, can you be tempted? When you're dead, can you lead someone to sin? Well, there must be something good about death. If you're faithful to God and you die, are you secure in Christ when you die? Yes. Then what's the big thing about dying? Why is it no one wants to die? Yes. You can't lead anyone else to Christ. You are? Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants. You can't lead anyone else to Christ. Okay. All right. That's a cute answer. I understand that. You cannot lead anyone else to Christ, so you would miss evangelism. Okay. I understand that. Let's read verse 3. Well, actually, from verse 2. Thank you, Sonny. Would someone else read for me? All right. What's your name? Faith. What's your name? Uh-huh.
Dominic.
Oh, Dominic. Dominic, read for us from verse 2. Then Hezekiah. Verse 3. And with her. And have done. And finish the verse now. Then Hezekiah did what? What does sore mean? Bitterly. Bless whoever said that. How old was Hezekiah? He was a grown man. Have you ever seen a grown man crying? It's not a pretty sight. Hezekiah, the Bible says, turned his face toward the wall and began to cry like a baby. Why? Why? Because he heard he was going to die. No one, generally speaking, wants to die. Why is that? Why? We have unconfessed sins. Well, then confess them and die. It's very simple. Why is it no one wants to die? Any of my sisters can give an answer? We like living. Okay. We like living. All right. Okay. Okay. Yes, Nathan. We're scared of death, among other things. Okay. Yes. Ah, sister, God bless you. I like you. God created us. Finish it. Say it again. To live. Now go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll read verse 11. 5, 5, 1, 11. Yes, read for us. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Listen carefully as my sister reads, and her name is Bonnie. Sister Bonnie, read for us. Stop. Thank you, Sister Bonnie. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. Now, the word for world in that verse means eternity or forever. Well, the verse is suggesting that God placed in us at creation a capacity and a desire for eternity. As our sister said, he made us to live, not die. Let me say it again. God placed in us at creation a desire for a long life. There's an interesting urge God also placed in us. Counsels on Stewardship, page 148, paragraph 4. The desire to accumulate wealth is an original affection of our nature, implanted there by our Heavenly Father for noble ends. Let me say that slowly. The desire to accumulate wealth is an original affection of our nature, implanted there by our Heavenly Father for noble ends. And noble ends have nothing to do with you. It has to do with someone else. God put certain things in us when he made us. One of the things he placed in humanity was a desire for an endless life. And so no one really wants to die. Even those who are martyrs in war, they believe that if they give up their lives, what happens? If they die for somebody, what happens? Another life starts. You go to heaven if you're Muslim and you have four wives in heaven and you're happy forever. No one wants to die. The question is why? And my sister answered it. In every human being is a desire for an endless life. The urge to live was put in us by God. But some of us, we pursue life the wrong way. You see, this urge for life is in all of us, but we express that urge the wrong way, many ways. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll read verse 6. 1 Timothy 5, verse 6. Who's the first person to find? Yes, Brother TJ, read for us. Now, the Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Can you be alive and dead, yes or no? Okay, let me ask you again. The smoke was in your eyes, so you couldn't think. Is it possible to be alive and dead, yes or no? Yes. Brother Nathan, the prophet, you're wrong for the first time in your life. Yes, it is possible to be alive and dead. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6 again. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Let's go to John chapter 10. Let's read verse 10. And then we'll use our minds and think. What time is it? 8:11. All right. Thank you. Do we have John chapter 10? All right. Reading verse 10. Read for us, my sister. What's your name? Lexi. All right, Sister Lexi, go ahead. The thief cometh not. Steal. Kill. Uh-huh. Life. Uh-huh. Now, Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life. Who's they? Well, us. When he said that, was his audience dead? Was he talking to dead people or living people? So what did he mean, I am come that you might have life, when you already had life? What does he mean? Ah, a different quality of life. A different quality of life. So breathing in and out, being able to sit and stand and eat your breakfast and run around and canoe, that is a form of life. Jesus Christ came to give us a different kind of life from the life that we normally pursue. I am come that they might have life. Now, what are some of the ways people pursue what they consider to be the good life? A lot of money. I'll come right to you, brother. Don't tell me, Joshua. All right. A lot of money. I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, pray for me. I said, why? He said, my wife wants to divorce me because I don't make enough money. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, she was raised by her family to believe that making money is priority number one in any family. So for her, a good life was money. And there are people who risk their health, they risk their families, they risk everything for the pursuit of money. That is what they consider a good life. Okay, Joshua, what were you going to say? Okay, Joshua, you're a serious brother. Yes, multiple marriages. This one doesn't work, I try it again. Doesn't work, I try it again. Doesn't work, I try it again. And that happens in the church. Now, let me get off that because that's touchy, but it happens in the church. Let me tell you something. You're young, but listen to me. Read Adventist Home. Read as much as you can about what Ellen White says about marriage. Really read it. So that you understand what you're getting into if you ever decide to be married. A lot of people never think. They get into it, then they want to jump out. It doesn't work like that. According to God, when you get in, the door slams behind you, and there's only one way out. What way is that? That's the ideal way on this side of eternity. But there's a reason God allows for someone to get out of a marriage. What reason is that? Adultery. But even then, you don't have to get out. Because Calvary argues for reconciliation rather than separation. Are you with me? So I'm just saying, even though you're young, don't think now, I just can't wait to get married. Think, pray, read, seek God's guidance. Yes, for some people, multiple marriages, that is a life. For others, drugs. Yes, my good brother. Yes, for others, as many degrees as possible. You got a bachelor's, you got a master's, a PhD, a postdoc, another master's, another bachelor's, all kinds of degrees behind the name, because that gives us, perhaps I don't want to judge, a certain status at the earthly level. For some people, a life is as many degrees as possible. For others, a life is one party after another. For others, the life is sports. That's all I do. Basketball, football, hockey, whatever else. Sports, recreation, triviality, frivolity, that's life. Jesus came to say, look, what you are pursuing is right. How you're pursuing it is wrong. Now, I know you didn't follow me. You did? Okay. What did I say? What did I say? Huh? Yes, my dear sister. How you're pursuing it, it's the right object, but you're going about it the wrong way. Why do I say it's the right urge? Because it is put in us to live. But because of sin, we pursue that life the wrong way. And so we need something to correct our course, and that something is Jesus Christ. In the eyes of Christ, a blessed life is a life that glorifies him and is a blessing to others. In the book, Historical Sketches, page 285, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes, every youth, Any youth? Okay, you're a youth. All right, I have a few more youth. Every youth should be impressed with the fact that he's not his own, that his strength, his time, his talents belong to God. It should be his chief purpose in life to glorify God and to do good to his fellow man. That, in the eyes of God, is a blessed life. That's the life we're supposed to live. Now let's go from youth to children. Any children? All right, I see some. Okay, we have one child, another one next to him. Okay, all right. Same book. Historical Sketches, page 285, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes, every youth, every child has a work to do for God's glory and for the salvation of souls that are ready to perish. Every child has something to do for the salvation of souls. The life that God would have us to live is a life that glorifies him and that is a blessing to our fellow man and our fellow woman. And so I say again, God has put into our hearts a desire for life. I'll come to you, Brother Nathan. Is your hand up for something? Yeah. Oh, I'll come to you. Oh, what time is it? It's supposed to be done. All right. Thank you, Brother Nathan. Let us be sure that we're pursuing that life the right way. Are you with me? Yes, sir. A degree has its place. Am I right? It's fine to be married. It's fine to make money. There's no crime in that. If genuine Christians controlled all the money, there would be no poverty. What did I say? If genuine Christians controlled the money, there would be no poverty. If they controlled the food supplies, there would be no hunger. So there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of it. Make sure that the education you're pursuing, whatever plans you have for your life, even at this young age, all of your planning and your thinking and your ambitions are designed first to glorify God. That's the life. And to be a blessing to others. No one is put on this earth for his own sake. We are on this earth for the blessing of others and first for the glory of God. And so my brothers and my sisters, young though you may be, as you live your lives, remember, I must live my life for God's glory first. That's the quality of life that Jesus Christ came to give. And to live that life, you must have Christ dwelling within. How many will say with me, Father, help me to live a life that glorifies you first. Can I see your right hand? And I mean that with all my heart. Glorify you first. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, put within us a desire to glorify you in all that we do and say. A desire, Father, to bring glory to your name by the choices we make and the actions we take. Bless my brothers and sisters, I pray. And with every day of their lives, let Christ be seen in them. And let their lives inspire others to live that Christ-like life. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. Thank you. I'm sorry for going over time. Thank you, Brother Joshua. Have a good evening. What time is lights out? All right.